Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte. Hosted by Lyrical Forte. You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte.
A brother told me a story just the other day of how his life changed and what happened along the way. He said when he was younger, he met a girl so fine that every time she came around, she blew his mind. She spoke so beautifully, words flowed off of her tongue. As a matter of fact, the very first time, she talked him into not wearing a condom because she said she was on a pill, and he believed it for a night just so he could feel a little sensation, which later on led to complication. He said when it was over, somehow he felt cheated, abandoned, abused, misused, and unneeded. The story goes on. They separated. She found someone else. Soon after that, he started experiencing problems with his health. He went to the doctor, and the doctor told he that he had just contracted an STD. But wait, no, she said she had never been with anyone else but me. Then he wrote down, she said, and put the S behind the D. Now he feels stupid because he has been played, because the S after the D and said is AIDS. He said, I'm sharing this story with you, hoping to make you aware that just because you can't see, feel, and hear things don't mean that they're not there. And this predicament is not something new. So whatever you do, please don't think that this can never, ever happen to you. Know your status. Get tested.
Yes! 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 Hell yes! Yes!
Invitation to Love by Paul Laurence Dunbar. Come when the nights are bright with stars, or come when the moon is mellow. Come when the sun, his golden bars, drops on the hayfield yellow. Come in the twilight, soft and gray. come in the night or come in the day. Come, O love, whene'er you may, and you are welcome. Welcome. You are sweet. O love, dear love, you are soft as the nesting dove. Come to my heart and bring it to rest as the bird flies home to its welcome nest. Come, when my heart is full of grief, or when my heart is merry. Come with the falling of the leaf, or with the reddening cherry. Come, when the year's first blossom blows. Come, when the summer gleams and glows. Come with the winter's drifting snows, and you are welcome.
We Wear the Mask by Paul Lawrence Dunbar. We wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. This debt that we pay to human guile, with torn and bleeding hearts, we smile and mouth with myriad subtleties. Why should the world be overwise in counting all our tears and sighs? Nay, let them only see us while we wear the mask. We sing, but O great Christ, our cries to thee from tortured souls arise. We smile, but O the clay is vile beneath our feet and long the mile. But let the world dream otherwise while we wear the mask.
If I think of my life as a class and what I've really learned,
mic check.
I've learned a few things. First, I'm aware that I'm a child of God. It's such an amazing understanding to think that the It, which made fleas and mountains and rivers and stars, made me. What I pray for is humility, to know that there's something greater than I. Then I have to know that the brute, the bigot, and the batterer are all children of God, whether they know it or not. And I'm supposed to treat them accordingly. And it's hard, and I blow it all the time.
Mongrel class of people.
I'd like everybody to think of a statement by Terence. The statement is, I am a human being. Nothing human can be alien to me. If you can internalize at least portion of that, you will never be able to say of a criminal act, or I couldn't do that. No matter how heinous the crime, if a human being did it, you have to say, I have in me all the components that are in her or in him. I intend to use my energies constructively as opposed to destructively. If you can do that about the negative, just think what you can do about the positive. If a human being dreams a great dream, dares to love somebody, if a human being dares to be Martin King or Mahatma Gandhi or Mother Teresa or Malcolm X, if a human being dares to be bigger than the condition into which she or he was born, it means so can you. And so you can try to stretch. Stretch. Stretch yourself. So you can internalize, ah, homo sum, humani nihila me alienum puto. I am a human being. Nothing human can be alien to me. That's one thing I'm learning.
Yeah, that's right. I'm your host for Mike Nice, Lyrical Forte. And again, thank you for joining us on another great Tuesday here on Mike Nice. And we're going to get things started. Make sure you call in. The phone lines are open. 646-668-8072. The phone lines are open. And man, I hope y'all are having a good day. I have had a pretty good day. It's been a busy day, kind of a, I won't say hectic day, but busy. Busy, I think that's what really sums it up, man. Just on the go, ripping and running, that sort of deal. And now, here I'm on Mike Nice, chillaxing with you all. And again, we're going to get right into the show. Again, phone lines are open, 646-668-8072. And we're going to start with our black facts for today. Today being September the 19th, on this day in 1989, the first issue of Emerge magazine goes on sale. Also on this day in 1881, Booker T. Washington opens Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. Also on this day, Atlanta University was founded in 1865. On this day in 1868, white Democrats attacked demonstrators who were marching from Albany to Camilla, Georgia, and killed 9 blacks. Several whites were wounded. Also on this day, in 1989, Gordon Parks' film, The Learning Tree, is registered in the National Film Registry. Also on this day, Otis Redding, singer, was born in Dawson, Georgia. And those are your black facts for today. Today what we're going to talk about, and again, feel free to call in and discuss other things as well. But, you know, I always want to bring something to the table, to bring something to you all's attention. And being that this month is September, during this month, we talk about suicide and, you know, bring about awareness, suicide awareness in this month. And I want to talk about a study on today's show. Later on, I want to talk about this study about suicide rates in the United States. It's increasing and it's really hitting our black youth hardest. And I want to talk about that study. And, you know, it's one of those things, one of those issues that we really don't want to talk about. We really don't want to address, but it's really important that we do so. And we do so in a fashion to educate yourselves and do everything that's possible to keep our young people from making a temporary, a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Again, we want to keep our youth from making a permanent decision to a temporary problem. So we're going to talk about this study a little later on. And always, well, I won't say always, but definitely today the phone lines are open for open mic as well. If you would like to come through and make the mic nice, you definitely have the opportunity to do so. And I think I will as well. I think I'll excuse me, I'll make the mic nice as well with a piece about suicide awareness, that sort of deal. So we're going to keep things going. Again, make sure you call in. The phone lines are open, 646-668-8072.
One of the most dangerous terms in English diction. If it could be translated into audio, it would sound like from the saxophone of Lisa Simpson. Two words designed and strategically combined to form the biggest ox oxymoron in the history of mankind. Almost. But see, as far as the world's concerned, you could live your life foul and could almost get away with murder if you have a nice smile. You could almost meet folks just to almost sleep around and stop at your local clinic while you almost had a child. See, almost is no stranger to Satan. Here's proof. He only tells lies when they're almost the truth, and it's amazing. In our incompleteness, we find complacence. But if almost is one of Lucifer's many traits, then we are inadvertently good at Satan impersonations. But on the contrary, Christ did his job fully, and he proved he was God when he died on the cross like it was his duty. And to pardon my iniquities that I committed rudely, he resurrected from the grave just to tell death to excuse me. But excuse me, this is your life, and that's something I can't impose on. But your body is God's home, which wasn't loaned to get foreclosed on. See, an almost Christian looks right but lives wrong. In Romans, so they sit down to be comforted in Psalms. Never understood worship, but love to sing songs like I surrender all. Most. Because it's far too expensive for you to spend your life on something that doesn't appeal to your five senses. See, nowadays Christianity's like a Louis rag. No functional use, but we just rock it because it's stylish. Not righteous, but right-ish. So now all God sees is a pile of Ishmaels when he intended for Isaacs. So technically, we've never really been saved. We've merely tried it. So no wonder why we're never sold out when we return it after we buy it now. Let me break it down, because you need to be aware that your life could lack the very standards that need to be there. Because on that final day of judgment, while God's receiving his heir, will he say, son, well done, or medium rare? Because even by worldly standards, it'd be highly insane for you to start spending all of your money days before you almost get paid like parents. You wouldn't send your kids to a school that's almost safe. And ladies, would you really date a man who claims he's almost straight? About God that we all try to get around, but his standards are like between two mountains, no middle ground. So a halfway life is unprofitable to you, because after all the Sunday services, Bible studies, and prayer meetings, and everything that goes between, God will say, I never knew you. But that's not even the worst part of living your life as neutral. It's that you were once Arctic, but it's your warmness that is causing him to spew you. And this is the very thing that had me. I was bound and held down by the unforgiving gravity of my spiritual reality. I was a Christian, or at least I portrayed the fantasy, with a filthy personal life, but God bless you, brother. How you doing, sister? Personality. I was a male, enveloped by guilt because I was stamped a sinner. I said, I was a male, enveloped by guilt because I was stamped a sinner. My message couldn't be received because I didn't represent the sender, yet I was almost delivered. Till that one day that I totally, absolutely, and completely surrendered, I took heed to a modern prophet who proclaimed it was time for change. Now I'm no longer bound to sin, point blank, off the chain. You could ask Umar Abdul-Muttalib. He'll tell you the same. You don't almost go to jail when you almost blow up a plane. Like you don't almost go to hell when you almost get saved. Despise the cross that he was slain and thus the cause in which he came. But don't worry, I'm almost done. But before I leave this stage, we have all worked in sin and death was minimum wage. I said, we've all worked in sin and death was minimum wage. But if it wasn't for Christ, we would have almost got paid.
And that piece right there was by Passion for Christ Movement poet Ezekiel. What a great poet, man. I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to share the same stage with him. And just phenomenal person as well as poet. And yeah, that's right. I am your host for Mike Nice Lyrical Forte here on another great Tuesday. And again, call in. The phone lines are open, 646-668-8072. And before I go any further, man, I want to send a special shout out to Grace Heritage Community Development, Chari Bostic, Elizabeth Wincroft, and all those who had a part in nominating me for it. The Keeping the Dream Alive Award this year in the arts, music, and entertainment category. And not only was I nominated, but I was also blessed to be one of the recipients for this award. And, you know, I don't look for awards or accolades or anything like that, but it really means a lot to me to be recognized. And I definitely don't take this award lightly, because with this award, I believe, comes great responsibility to continue to be held accountable to make sure that I do my part to keep the dream alive and keep us as a people moving forward in any way that I can. And make sure you also check out Grace Heritage Community Development on Facebook as well. A great organization that's doing a lot here in the Gaston area with revitalizing one of the black cemeteries here in the city. And their next, if I'm not mistaken, their next cleanup date is October the 7th. Again, that's October the 7th, but definitely please check out Grace Heritage Community Development online on their Facebook page to get more information. But I definitely wanted to shout them out. I haven't had the opportunity to really do so, and so I wanted to do that. But again, we're going to keep things going. I mentioned earlier that this month is National Suicide Awareness Month, and I wanted to talk about a study that I saw earlier today about how suicide rates in the United States is increasing and black youth are being hit the hardest. And I found this article on rollingout.com, and I'll make sure that I post this as well. But the article goes as such. Events in the news have exposed the hidden tragedy of suicide in America. There was a death in the beginning of the year by a young lady named Nakia Vernet. She was 14 years old of Miami Gardens, Florida, and she was found hanging on Sunday, January the 23rd. She posted a final goodbye on Facebook Live nearly a month ago, or at that time, nearly a month ago. A Georgia teen committed suicide on Facebook. And I know you all probably remember when there was a big thing with people, you know, doing it on Facebook Live. And I think Facebook has really done a great job since that to really kind of be aware of that. At least I haven't heard of anything as of new lately of people doing this online and, you know, and it being shared and things like that. Nearly a month ago, again, a Georgia teen died, and her name was Caitlin Nicole Davis, and this happened on December the 30th, and she filmed herself as well in Cedartown, Georgia. In the video that was taken of her suicide, she alleged that she had been physically and sexually abused by her stepfather. And a Los Angeles actor, Frederick J. Bowdy, 33, used Facebook Live to show his suicide as well to horrify family and friends. These well-publicized cases echo the CDC findings that in 2016, the suicide rate in America reached a 30-year high. The CDC title study is increase in suicide in the United States from 1999 through 2014. Found a continued increase in suicide awareness for young black men. The data on suicide rates for black youth remained consistent in a 2015 study by the Journal of the American Medical Association, also known as JAMA, JAMA. The study found that the suicide rate among black children has doubled within the last 20 years. Prior to that study, the CDC released information that showed the suicide rate of black children between the ages of 5 and 11 doubled between 1993 and 2013. The CDC information shows that suicide among the age and demographic rose from 1.78 to 3.47 per 1 million. In contrast, the suicide rate for white children declined from 1.96 to 1.31 per million. But black males were not only the only population at risk. The rate of suicide among females of all ages had also increased. According to a report released by the National Center for Health Statistics, there was an alarming increase among girls 10 to 14 whose suicide rate, while still very low, had tripled. Researchers agreed that the access of and willingness to participate in mental health care is a major reason for the country is seeing the 30-year high in suicide rate go up. Many stories of teen suicide victims have been centered on bullying at school or social media. It is up to the parents to recognize the signs in suicidal behavior or depression in their children. And I'm reading this study again, and I think it even becomes bigger. I think it takes a village to recognize what's going on with our children, that sort of deal, because, you know, sometimes maybe the parents may not be aware of what's going on, where a teacher may be, or, a sub may be, a tutor may be, that sort of thing. And suicide is the third leading cause of death among teenagers 15 to 24 years old and accounts for 12% of all deaths annually. And here are a few warning signs of suicide, such as depressed mood, substance abuse, frequent episodes of running away or being incarcerated, family loss or instability, insignificant problems with one or both parents, expressions of suicidal thoughts or death, talk of death or the afterlife during moments of sadness and boredom, withdrawal from friends and family, difficulties in dealing with sexual orientation, loss of interest or enjoying activities that was once pleasurable, unplanned pregnancy, impulsive aggressive behavior, frequent expressions of rage. And if you know anyone who's thinking about or contemplating suicide, please make sure you call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. And I'll make sure that I post the number as well as this article online. And next week I'll talk about or mention some more tips on suicide awareness to be conscious. We'll talk about a acronym called IsPathWarm that can help you recognize those that may be contemplating. And again, it's one of those topics that we don't talk about until it's too late, until you know, someone has lost their life, and we can't wait. We can't wait anymore. We have to know, you know, what's going on and take it seriously. Really take this seriously to see that, you know, we can save a life and that people really do go through things and it affects them in certain ways where, you know, we may not even recognize how bad that it may affect someone. So, again, I definitely wanted to share that article with you today. Again, the phone lines are open. We're going to keep things going. Again, 646-668-8072. Again, it's 646-668-8072. We'll be right back.
We're going to take you now to Chicago, where this past weekend at least 52 people were shot, 8 of them killed in a wave of violence.
That was my best friend. Oh, I can't say nothing. She was pregnant. Oh, my God.
Yeah, as we go through life, the sun rises in the east. But in their lives, there are lies in the skies, and numbers rise and deceased. This complex belief of two fists hitting two eyes to despise one another. See, I dream to see the same two arms learn and become the purpose of a fully functional hug. Violence replaced with love. One that springs growth. Reminiscing about the dangerous scenes of the past can allow a new path. So shift into gear. The future is near. We are great beings. The bright future is here. We were birthed on this earth with one mouth and two ears. So take a moment and listen. Too much injustice turned into violence. Hatred's outspoken. We need a moment of silence. Listen, listen to the cry of our city, the request from the north, south, east, and west, a whole hand of five fingers sacrificed for the signal of only two, two for the signal of peace, the signal of peace to be released and spread to the streets to overcome the violence for relief. The light is green, so go, go towards a destination of fertile land. Understand, you could substitute the strife, but begin with yourself. Sacrifice.
And that piece right there was by Jeff Abira. And that piece was entitled Self-Destruction. We're going to go to the phone lines. We have our very own Serum of Truth on the line. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I can't complain. So what's going on?
Nothing much. Taking a much-needed break.
I heard that. And again, thank you all so much for your recognition for so many people the other week. I really appreciate it just to, you know, just to be, you know, nominated for such an award. And definitely look forward to everything that comes about from the growth of what you all are doing with Grace Heritage Community Development.
Absolutely, and thank you for all that you do. You're way more than arts, music, and entertainment to me. I'm sure you know. If you don't, I just told you. I can really call on you for anything. You've always been there for me, and I just love you.
Likewise. I really appreciate what you bring to this platform as well. And again, you know, all that you do, you're doing so much, you know, not just with the arts as well, but really keeping the dream alive also.
I try my best to keep the dream alive. That's what we need right now, because I tell you, the world that we are living in and the stresses that we are under, I know you were talking about suicide, and it's so many things on the plate nowadays, you know.
Yeah.
So much to carry with you every day. It's hard to make it through every day. So if you are making it through every day, you need to thank somebody, honey, whoever you need to thank. You need to thank that person, because we're living in some strange days, LaQuentin. We are definitely doing that.
Definitely.
No answer to what's really going on, you know. The news is really scary right now. It's scary to even put it in the news.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. And after all this time, you think we would have the answers for these types of things, but with so much access to the media and social media, and like I said, with things have changed about what's on your plate, and we really don't know what these kids are going through nowadays. And I haven't been out of school that long or anything like that, but I know that even in my time, I thought about it. I can honestly say I thought about it one time, but I got over it. Thank the Lord.
Yeah,
but some
yeah.
people are not able to get over it, and that's a tough thing. And there's not enough counseling going on. I tell you, the schools have like 20 counselors. But when I go into the schools touring, I know those children are absolutely hurting. They are absolutely living a life that we wouldn't even dream of. We had a good childhood, LaQuentin. We made it through, you know, they dropping like flies around here. And I'm like, how old is this person?
Right.
What? They didn't even get a chance to live and mess up real good. You know, it's none of that.
Right.
And that's sad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's sad. It is.
It definitely is. And, you know, one of my favorite pieces when I think about how you empower our youth, you know, one of my favorite pieces by you is Blackbird. And it's so powerful. You know, it's really so powerful, and especially seeing you perform it. It's a lot of times what we miss is hope. You know, a lot of times people make certain decisions because they lose hope in whatever they are trying to achieve and what they're trying to do. And your piece, Blackbird, just empowers us to do more and want more and to see more.
Absolutely, because at this point, you got to live every day with, hey, as soon as I open that door, everything is going to get thrown at me. So, am I going to dodge it? Am I just going to sit here and get hit? Am I going to try to take for the sky and make it anyway? I mean, you're going to have to decide that in your heart. And as a Black person, because I really feel like we are struggling the most out of everyone.
Yeah.
And the statistics that you read blew my mind, because I'm like, okay, we've always had it hard now. We've always had it hard. But what has changed to the point where we're not going to allow them to take our lives carelessly?
Right.
We're going to do it ourselves. I don't understand how we got there. It's too many trying to take our lives, you know, on a whole nother level, much less you just want to counsel your own self out. Not real sure, but Exquisite Women, the group, we're about to get into schools and get some workshops going, and because it's a group of diverse women. All of them come from a different walk of life. All of them have a different level of education and different traits, and they need to know that it doesn't matter where you're coming from. Let me tell you what you can do with it. You know, think about the possibilities. Even if you just believe in self, we're gonna have to teach them that self is key.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to keep self on top of it. and we need to figure out what's holding them down. Now, I mean, they have parents, but it's only so much that the parent can do. It's so much
right.
that the teacher can do. You know, I'm just out here and about in the neighborhood. If you got a problem, I'm here. My
yeah.
house, 1360, is a safe zone. And I tell them that when I go to school, you can't make it, call me.
Yeah.
We will work it out. You don't have to go through it. We will find a solution to the problem. And it eats me up because I wear my heart on my sleeve and I don't know anything about what they're going through because my childhood wasn't like that.
Right.
It just wasn't. And it's hard to relate to them, and maybe that's what we need, people who, you know, have been from different walks of life who can respond to different things where you might not have any type of experience. And that's why this group works, because we can come from different angles with you. That's why we're going to get into the schools, and we're going to work it out.
Yeah.
We're going to work it out.
Yeah.
We got to be trying to reach them on a different level. The preacher ain't going to reach them all. The parent
right.
ain't going to reach them. The teacher ain't going to reach them all.
Yeah.
Maybe the person that you see at these programs will reach it all for you. Maybe this musician that you know will reach it all and redirect. You know, maybe we can redirect some of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate you saying that, and definitely appreciate what you all are doing, being on the front lines and really getting your hands into what's going on and making yourself available. I think that's so big. That's one thing that, you know, not just as an artist, but just as a human being, I want to be reachable to so many people and tangible, because, you know, there are so many people that have different platforms, but they don't make themselves available to really, you know, talk and things like that. So I appreciate that about you as well, as being, you know, tangible and really being able to, you know, have the youth to really come to you and connect with you.
Absolutely. I think we have got to put in the work. It's time to stop with this marching and protesting and burning down neighborhoods. Let's figure out the solutions. We know what the problems are. You
yeah,
need to figure
yeah.
out solutions and put them forth. Get them working.
Right. Yeah.
We need working
yeah.
solutions right now. As a community, as a people, however you want to look at it, we need some working solutions.
Yeah. You're definitely right. You're definitely right. Are you going to make the mic nice for us tonight?
I am.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I wrote this piece a few minutes ago because.
Wow.
While
hot
I was
off,
frying these burgers, and I was writing this piece.
That's all right.
I've had a lot of people come to me and tell me about the Soul Gala and things like that, and I've been telling them that I'm just taking a break these next couple of weeks because, you know, tomorrow's my 9th anniversary, wedding
Whoop.
Anniversary. And
awesome.
Unfortunately, I've had some negative feedback, and you know how I feel about negative feedback.
Right.
If it's not going to help me, you
mm-hmm.
just being nasty.
Right.
You just being nasty. So sometimes the truth is nasty also. And this is my short little cute piece for
okay.
what happened to me, because I am a responsive writer. I tend to write what is going on in the moment. It does not have a title, but I'm going to go for it. Okay.
Okay.
I'm a black married woman with tools in my sack to solidify the position that I'm the queen of this pack. I pride myself on leaving more than a stale fragrance in the air, and this is a number that you have no choice but to call back. Why? Because I leave an impression of a full belly on a man and not a snack. Because I'm the wife that you dream of and the one you chose as a quack. Should reverse off your knee and take the ring back. I mean, Jerry would say don't waste fine jewels on a broad that won't never have your back. Won't cook for you, clean for you, raise your kids, then hustle and share the sack. Won't dream for you, believe in you, even in the state of lack. Bail you out, plead the field, cross the border and never look back. You got to be careful who you take for a wife. I've been at this for 9 years now, I know it looks easy. However, Tyrone and I do work hard at this life. So the next time you want to doubt or question this fairy tale love we have, I suggest you do what's right. Have several seats, boo-boo kitty, because you still trying to be in the life. And remember, if I wasn't all of that and a bag of chips, I wouldn't still be his wife. Happy anniversary, Tyrone.
I love it. I love it. And that was the serum of truth with a piece straight presses. I love it. I really do. And definitely wishing you all many, 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 many more years.
Well, thank you. It's hard to believe we've been together this long.
Yeah.
But so, I believe it every day. I believe it every day.
Yeah. So how many years has it been?
Tomorrow it will be 9 years married, and we've been together a total of 11 years.
Wow.
Right. Who says black love ain't real?
Right. Awesome. And you know, one thing that I really like about Tyrone is how he really holds you down and supports you. And you know, he's not one of those guys. You know how we can, you know, how some guys, we want to be the center of attention and we don't want to support our other half. I just really see how he really gets behind the scenes and supports you, and you know, and any way that he can support you, he does that. And I really like that about him.
He does. He is very supportive of the dream and making, you know, 20 hats fit on my head, and he's okay with running right behind me if he needs to. And
yeah,
that helps the life, because you don't want to lose yourself in the marriage. You want to grow as a person and grow together and as a family,
yeah.
You know. And
right.
It's very helpful that he is there and he says, yeah, Liz, let's do it, you know.
Yeah.
Supportive. Mm-hmm. Supportive mm-hmm. is key with the marriage.
Yeah.
Support.
And, you know, me and Kayla, we were talking the other day, and she was saying how, you know, when you were doing your pieces, how you would say something and he would be taken aback by, like, wow, you know. And that was so encouraging to, you know, to us to see how, you know, he's into it like he's, you know, like as if he was a fan. You know, he really, really.
I haven't asked him, is he a fan? Are you a fan? He said he's a fan.
Yeah.
He's a fan.
Awesome.
And look, I don't practice in front of him anymore, so he really doesn't know exactly how I'm going to get up there and do that thing.
Yeah.
I don't practice in front of him anymore. Look, I figure he's tired of watching me practice. You know what it's like to try and memorize your lines and stuff, right?
Man, I'm telling you. Awesome. Well, thank y'all so much for just being an example for so many people of, you know, like you said, that black love does exist and it is capable to have that.
Absolutely, on all levels, personal and relationship-wise, it's possible to have that black love. We're just going to have to get it out there for them. Let me show you what it looked like.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Now, should I tell them or would you like to tell them?
You got to tell them.
Okay, I got you. Cool. Right. Cool deal.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, and definitely looking forward to what's about to happen.
Absolutely.
And that right there was the Serum of Truth coming through and blazing the mic for her 9th anniversary tomorrow. Awesome piece there. And well, we were, you know, kind of hinting to was, well, I'll tell y'all right after this track what's about to happen.
Motives and thoughts. Rotating bodies, confusion of sound. Negative imagery holding us down. Social delusion, clearly constructed. Human condition, morals corrupted. Trapped in reaction, lawlessness, war. dissatisfaction from bowels to core, devil's technology, strategy four, human mythologies, urban folklore, sicker psychology, counterfeit cure, wicked theology, robbing the poor, scheme demonology, mislead the pure, stricken strategically, studying war, light shown in darkness, image exposed, few can see through the new emperor's clothes, lustful this hustle turns humans to hoes, when the blind lead the blind, just more trouble and woes. It's the mind that they chose, it's designed to stay closed. Standards of jokers, court just the logic, cyclic and cosmic from schoolyard to college. Primitive man in his civilized knowledge, system collapse and he still won't acknowledge. God is the savior, studies behavior, trying to fiff the mixed mind that he gave you. Stiff-necked scholars on prescription meds, wishing their problems was all in their heads. Moral dilemma, pride at the root, misguided from youth, heart divided from truth. Egyptians and Grecians, spiritually dead, empirically led by the good gods in their heads. Motives and thoughts, industrial wealth, global economy in it for self. Heart full of madness, covered with kind, pleasure designed to take over your mind. Furnished in godliness, painted in good, this tainted priesthood's got real saints misunderstood. While classes and government set up the veil and cultivate minds for more mythical tales. Typical Hollywood, folly's good girl, while vice and corruption take over the world. Motives and thoughts. Check your motives and thoughts. Blind with the wickedness deep in your heart. Modern day wickedness is all you've been taught. Lie to your neighbors so you get ahead. Modern day trickery is all you've been fed. Motives and thoughts. Check your motives and thoughts. Thank you.
From Brooklyn, please give a warm death poetry welcome.
And that was that piece by the Lauryn Hill, Motives. And so I guess I gave you enough of some suspense right there. Next week we'll be having the Serum of Truth. That's right, the Serum of Truth. Guest co-hosting with me next week on Mike Night. So make sure you all make it a point to be here next Tuesday, as the Serum of Truth will be here on Mike Nice guest co-hosting. And I look forward to it. I definitely look forward to it, and I know that you all will too. Really, being able to really hear from her and things like that. I know we hear from her, you know, often with her pieces, but really being able to get into, I guess you can say, kind of pick her brain a little bit, you know, because I say, for instance, like, you know, from time to time, different people, and it may be a person that, you know, just comes to mind, and, you know, watching these videos and really seeing their interviews and stuff really helps me to connect with certain, you know, certain people that we really don't know about, because of, for whatever reason. But, you know, being able to really see them from a different side from what we normally do, I think it really helps us to be able to connect with people a little bit more and look at them a little bit different, in a greater light. When, you know, we see these different interviews and stuff, because it's a different setting. It's them, it's their genuine selves, and, you know, it's just a different light. I've seen videos, like, say, for instance, I like watching Breakfast Club sometimes, on Power 105 or something like that. But the Breakfast Club, you know, DJ Envy, Charlamagne, and Angela Yee, they have, you know, different celebrities, or, you know, just different people in general come on the show, and, you know, it's different interviews that really, like, you really find out more about them, like, what's her name? I can't think of her name right now, but Tiffany Haddish. I really, you know, I liked her before, but when I seen this interview with her, and it really talked about where she came from and, you know, how long she's been in the game and how long she's really worked at what she's been doing, and stuff, you know, it really shed a different light, you know, or not, I won't even say necessarily a different light, but just magnified the light for her, because for me, you know, I didn't know her story and things like that. So it really kind of zoomed into that to make her even more likable for me, that sort of deal. So, I mean, I look so forward to having her guest co-host with me. You know, we were talking about suicide, and, you know, I didn't even really take the time to look at it like the Serum of Truth did, you know. And it's crazy because the next article that I had to read talks about or mentions, you know, the opening talks about, you know, why are so many black kids dying from suicide with already having to deal with, you know, police brutality and, you know, violence in our community and the systematic violence that impacts black communities and the healthcare gaps, you know, with already having to fight the struggle and, you know, really be adamant about our cause and things like that, to have the, I don't know how to say it, but to you know, just to have the thought of wanting to kill yourself when we're having to go through all that, man, it's just, it blows your mind. And it just makes you kind of sit back and it's like, wow, you know. And what she and this group is doing is going to be awesome, because, you know, that's where it really been, is in the classroom, really talking one-on-one with youth. You know, me as a prevention specialist, I get the opportunity to talk with different youth and things like that. And, you know, it's really mind-blowing to really talk to teenagers and youth, and I say youth and teenagers when I'm only 26 years old, but I've been a effect of prevention and, you know, preventative measures and things like that growing up within my local Boys and Girls Club. And notice I said the effect. I'm gonna have a piece where I say I'm the effect of my environment and not the product of my environment. And I say that because things can affect you positively and negatively, and it just depends on what we decide to do with what we've been taught, what we've learned, you know. And because of prevention, I think it has really helped me to be on the straight and narrow when it comes to a lot of things that I thank God I didn't have to experiment with or try or, you know, things like that. But it's so important that we get on a different level. We come down a few levels to really connect with our young people and be able to really get an understanding of what's going on and what we can do, or get them to the right people who may can help them and things like that. But again, we're going to talk about it a little bit more as well. You know, definitely throw some things out. But again, kudos to the exquisite women with Elizabeth Wincroft and Chari Bostic for what they're doing in our community. And again, I'm going to share a piece with you all in just a little bit, but I want to play this piece right here by Sebastian Carson entitled Black Boys Round Here. Check it out.
It seems like we're the only ones that come with nicknames, and even our real names are nicknames that don't reflect from which we came. We are bilingual. We speak English and we speak bang, bang. So every shot that rang is a sign of endearment, and an expression of pain. And though we ought to be ashamed, shame don't come round here. Only blame come round here. We got so much heart round here. Our hearts beat black drums when blue and white beat black boys round here. Round here, round here, you can hear echoes from the ghettos as the streets remain hollow from the absence of fathers. But no worries though. Media replaces our fathers with Chief Keef and Soulja Boy. Yes, the world is on your shoulders, boy, and you bet not drop it. Round here, we were taught that our savior has blue eyes and our roots started with slavery, and you expect us to be kings round here. Drug dealers are our only visible heroes round here. We can live, have our music loud, and not die round here, Jordan Davis. We can wear our hoodies, eat our Skittles, and not die round here, Trayvon Martin. You take away our history. You take away our soul. You take away our fathers. You take away our jobs. You take away our food. And what we gonna do? We gonna celebrate over soul food round here. You see, we improvise round here. We emperors round here. Black buying power will soon be $1.1 trillion. And just imagine if we invested that round here. We would go back to ancient Africa round here. We wouldn't feel the need to kill to survive round here. If we stopped trying to fit into the America's dream, it would become America's nightmare round here. Round here. Black boys, round here. It seems like we're the only ones that come with nicknames. And even our real names are nicknames that don't reflect from which we came. We are bilingual. We speak English and we speak bang, bang. So before you pass blame, I dare for you to come round here and see how black boys are treated round here. It ain't easy round here. I'm not making excuses, but it ain't easy round here. Black boys. Black boys round here.
Thank you.
every time I lose my mind, all I think about is you. I mean, who else can I go to? What else can I do? Many people refer to you as pain pill popping, heart stopping, point blank range. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's scattered brains, hypothermia, ischemia, or asphyxia, whose favorite colors are white, red, black, purple, and blue. The colors of hue. But I'll just call you Sue. I love the way your arms fit around my neck. The way you hold me and console me, and for me you say this is what's best. I love your kisses, the way you listen. Your thoughts became my thoughts, so you helped me make this decision as I start reminiscing about all the times when you were the only one there. When I used to love, love, but love didn't care. You showed me that love isn't fair. You helped me deal with the pain because the pain was too insane and the pain I couldn't bear. So whether it was more of your candy-covered kisses I would taste or your metal frame that couldn't be tamed on the right side of my brain at point-blank range, it would be placed. Now, thinking about being 6 feet under, 6 feet underground, and before I took that plunge into the water, knowing that I did not know how to swim and my lungs about to collapse and I'm about to drown. Out of all my problems today, but before that, I'll use these last few minutes of strife in this life to write this last love letter to say. Everything that I've already tried to say. From this moment on, no more silent cries, watery eyes, little white lies, do or dies, just bye-byes today. All of the memories like a football game lost due to a last-minute penalty is slowly fading away. And the only thing I could think of is sitting in that classroom, something about carpe diem, something about seizing the last day. But I fought this only to have bought this ultimate price I've had to pay. And I pray that it's not too late for anyone else. See, I was too busy concentrating on the bad and too busy thinking about myself. So no matter what you're facing, the devastation or whatever you're going through, remember that there's always someone you can talk to, but never, ever listen to Sue. And that's that piece by yours truly. Man, we still have about 10 minutes left in the show. If you would like to come through and make the mic nice, you definitely have the opportunity to do so. Call in right now. The number is 646-668-8072.
The first day I realized I was black, it was 2000. We had just learned about blacks for the first time in second grade. At recess, all the white kids chased me into the wood chanting slave. My mother said I refused to come out for 3 hours. Said she thinks I was lost in the trees, but I just needed to be closer to my roots.
As a woman, having a boyfriend is a battle. If 70% of us are abused in a lifetime, what is the number of men doing it? The answer is not one man running faster than light to complete a mission, and that is what leaves me sick.
The second day I realized I was black was in a gas station. I only had 25 cents, so I searched what to spend it on. The cashier floated from aisle to aisle, eyes fixed on my hands. That was the first time I realized skin color was a crime.
My body has become calls to write legislation, calls for ass smacks in the back of a class. My body has demanded everything except respect. I've been asked, what makes you feel unsafe? And I struggle not to yell.
Everything. The third day I realized I was black was in an all-white cafeteria. I gathered my legs under me, made rockets on my feet, and approached a girl. She told me she was not into my type of guy. I felt the words shoot daggers into my melanin. I have never wanted to disappear so bad.
As a woman, I've learned to answer to everything except my name. Little lady is not said to mean equal, but to make sure I remember my place, I battle between wanting to own my body and accepting there is a 1 in 4 chance a man will lay claim to my skin, a plot of land for the taking.
The last day I realized I was black was in an elevator in California. To the white woman that told me she knows what it feels like to be black because she grew up poor,
I would tell you to think before you speak, but your
mind has got to be bacteria infected, and any filter through that labyrinth of nothingness might be worse than no thought at all.
There's a group of women going around the room sharing their personal definition of feminism. He is the only man in the room, and all of a sudden, the tone switches to destroying the patriarchy by annihilating all men.
Do you know what it feels like to be black? To pop lock your way in and out of hugs, it is not a problem you want to sympathize.
But to tell me you know my pain
is to stab yourself in the leg because you saw me get shot. We have two different wounds, and looking at yours does nothing to heal mine.
Never will I turn away an ally.
But when a man speaks on my behalf, that only proves my point.
Movements are driven by passion, not by asserting yourself dominant by a world that already puts you there.
You speak to no pain, you only fathom because we told you it was there.
You know nothing of silence until someone who cannot know your pain tells you how to fix it. Every day is a crucifixion when there is no regards for lines crossed.
I fight so my voice can be heard. I fight for the voices you silence, all in the name of what is right.
The problem is you assume this struggle is attached to a social class. I am black and bold and beautiful by nature. Ain't no income that can change that.
The problem with speaking up for each other
is that everyone is left
without a voice.
For as long as I can remember, I've always had this void in my life. This empty feeling deep, deep inside of me that you can't quite shake, no matter how hard you try. It sort of consumes and eats away at you. You have great happy moments, and just when you think things are fine, surprise, the feeling always comes back. It's just a matter of time. The constant frustration to fill this void, something to ease the pain. What's the cause? Nobody knows yet. You feel the sad emptiness every single day. It leaves you feeling so empty and down, like you're missing something somehow. Something that's a big part of me, and once I have it, I'll be happy. I just need that one thing, this missing key, and once I get my hands on it, I'll be complete. Because I've tried everything, friends, education, material stuff. No matter how hard I try, it never seems to be enough. It sucks. I know people tell me that I just need to think more positively, or the solution to all my problems is self-love. It's not as simple as that. Not when you've got to the point where you just feel numb. I so badly want to fill my heart with so much happiness it takes all the sadness away. My childhood was so dark and angry that I always thought in my adult life, things would change. Somehow I would no longer feel the same, and I don't. Things aren't as intense anymore, but there's no denying that this feeling is always there, and it's something I can't explain. I just wish it would go away. I always thought that when I grow up, things would be different. I just thought that things would be different. You look at other people, and they always seem so happy. You know, you observe people's lives, whether that be in person, social media, TV, and it always seems to come to them so naturally. And I know that stuff can be misleading, but when you feel so empty, you can't help but look and think, why can't that be me? Because you want that. You so desperately want that, and you feel like you're doing all the right things. You know, you're hanging out with friends, talking about it, dancing to silly music, and in the moment you feel great. You're in a good, happy place. But sooner or later that feeling goes away, and the emptiness kicks in again. Do I sound crazy? God, I feel like I sound so crazy. I tend to feel a lot late at night. That's when I write. Sometimes I'm so overwhelmed with emotion, I just cry. And I don't know why. It makes me feel like there's something wrong with me. And it's sad to admit, so it becomes easier to lie and pretend that everything's fine. So that's what I say. I say that I'm fine. Events from my past that affect my adult life. I lash out, get down out of nowhere, and I can't explain why. It just gets so messed up in my head sometimes. Because you can't escape it, not when it's all happening in your mind. So you beat yourself up, and you beat yourself up till you feel so small. Sometimes you can be in a room full of people and still feel so alone. I can put on an act and pretend to be tough, but deep down, I never quite feel brave enough. You can feel so small in this big, big world that I feel like all I have are my words to keep my sense of control. These poems, they're like my therapy, you know? A way to release and pour out my soul in hopes that it'll make me feel better and somehow fill this empty hole. One day I'll be able to look back at everything and it won't hurt so much anymore. I'll be able to look back at what happened and not feel so sore. Because there's no cure. There's no quick way to fix it. It's just something you learn to live with. But it'll get easier. You are not the demons in your mind. You are not the hurt and pain you feel on the inside. You're stronger than that. You can fight. Understand that it's all temporary and that these things take time. So chin up. Breathe. Allow yourself to feel everything there is to feel. You're going to get through this. Give it some time, and you'll heal.
Again, I appreciate y'all coming through and listening to another great show here on Mike Nice. And I'm looking forward to next week's show again with the Serum of Truth. And I hope that you make it a point to come through. And we would love to see you on the radio as always. Make sure also if you would like to be a guest co-host or if you would like to make an appearance here on Mike Nice that you send your inquiry to lyricalforte@live.com. And as always, man, I want to leave you with a few quotes. Life doesn't require that we be the best, only that we try our best. Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Do not judge my story by the chapter you walked in on. Don't allow someone to make you feel like you're not good enough. Be fearless in the pursuit of what sets your soul on fire. Challenges are what make life interesting, and overcoming them is what makes life meaningful. Isn't it funny how day by day nothing changes, but when you look back, everything is different. The past is your lesson. The present is your gift. The future is your motivation. Thank you, and we'll see you on the radio. And tell them, hey, lean on me.
This is for that little child with no father, for that man that doesn't have a place to stay, for that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story, tell you a story?
You can lean on me.
There, a man,
oh yeah,
standing on the corner. He has no home, he has no food, and his blue skies are gone.
Yes, it is.
Can you hear him crying now?
I'm
than you'll ever know.
Then I'm walking away.
Open up.
You're listening to Mike Nice, hosted by Lyrical Forte.